Well, I would assume that everybody had an awesome Thanksgiving. Is that correct? Yeah? I had to ask the question because I needed a drink. So we all had an awesome Thanksgiving. And I'm sure there's probably some of us who maybe you have a visitor. You had visitors come for Thanksgiving. They might even be here today. You came for Thanksgiving and you stayed for the church service. And that's awesome. We're glad you're here. There may be some people missing that are usually here because they're visiting family and friends. There's probably a lot of people that don't want to even look at turkey anymore because you've eaten it for lunch and dinner for the last 3 days. If you're like me, I just eat it and then I'm like, oh, I don't want turkey for the rest of my life. And then next Thanksgiving, I eat more of it. And there's probably some of us here that, well, we've decided we really need to go on a diet after eating all the turkey and the pie and all that stuff, you know. But the truth of the matter is that all of us had a great Thanksgiving, I'm hoping. And I hope that we all took the time to really think about what we're thankful for. Because that's really, this morning, as would be appropriate, right, Thanksgiving, that this morning we're going to be talking about thankfulness. So I've actually entitled this message, Being a Thankful Christian. And that's exactly what Paul was talking about in 1 Thessalonians. Go ahead and turn there now. It's 1 Thessalonians, and it's going to be chapter 5. Turn your Bible there. Because here at the end of 1 Thessalonians, Paul is giving them a montage of exhortations and challenges and encouragements. And he's finishing off that letter with just all the things he wants them to remember. And in verses 16 through 18 that we're going to look at, we find an exhortation to thankfulness, to prayer, and rejoicing. Let's go ahead and read it now. Verse 16 of chapter 5. It says, Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Today especially, in everything give thanks, should have a special meaning to us. You know, we all know we should be thankful. But how are we doing on that right now? I mean, Thanksgiving is cool because we come together. It's a day specifically to be thankful. So now in my family, I don't know about yours, you know, before the dinner, before you eat, you know, sin, gluttony, all that stuff. But before that, you always go around the table and say what you're thankful for. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. Right? Well, it's easy to be thankful on Thanksgiving because that's the whole purpose of the day. But what about the rest of the year? How are we doing? Do people know us for our thankfulness? When they walk up to us, are they thinking, that's that guy that's always, I'm like, he's always happy. He's always thankful about stuff. You know, or are they thinking, there's that Dave Napier again. They're thinking, oh, man, just don't look at him. Maybe he won't talk to us, you know. Because you're always complaining. You're not thankful for anything. You know, how are you doing on thankfulness for the rest of the year, not just on Thanksgiving Day? Well, the cool thing is that Paul tells us the secret to living a thankful life in those three small verses that we just read. So this morning we're going to look at two aspects of being a thankful Christian. First, we're going to see that thankfulness comes from joy. And then second, we're going to look at that joy comes from understanding. And all those three verses bring us to those two concepts. So let's start with thankfulness comes from joy. Because it's no coincidence that Paul tells us that to rejoice always and in everything give thanks. You see, they're connected. So before we get into that, let's first get a good definition of thankfulness. Random House Dictionary says that it's a feeling, it's either feeling or expressing gratitude. Thankfulness is either feeling or expressing gratitude. So you may just be feeling it, or you may be feeling it and expressing it. And of course, gratitude is really just an appreciativeness of some kind of kindness or benefit. So really, when we say we're thankful, we're really talking about having a feeling of gratitude, or really, you could say joy. You know, having a joy and then just a natural product of joyfulness is thankfulness, right? So I don't think I have to really convince anyone. I mean, most of us probably know this, that thankfulness comes so much easier when you're joyful about something, right? I mean, Christmas is coming up. It's just a month away, right? And I think we've all kind of had maybe an experience. We don't normally talk about it, probably. But we've all kind of had that experience. We've been wanting that one thing for Christmas. You know, you've been dropping hints to your spouse or to your parents. Catalogs left open with things circled. You know, in conversation, oh, did you see the new so-and-so? Oh, I would love to have one of those. That would be it. Don't you think that's good? Yes, dear, I think that's a good thing. Yeah, yeah. You're dropping hints. You conveniently update them on every sale that has one of those. Oh, I saw this amazing price on one. It would be a shame not to get it at this price. You know, it's just convenient. I mean, it just happens to come up in conversation. It's amazing. You know, it's Christmas Eve. You're looking at all the gifts under the tree, kind of judging the size of the box. I don't know. That could be it. That's a little too big. It's a little too small. I'm not sure. Christmas morning comes. You're ripping open the presents, and it's not there. But then they bring out one gift. Have you ever had that? They, like, bring out a special gift, and you're looking. It's the right size. And they kind of walk, you know, this way. And you're going, come on, come on, come on. Just turn. And they give it to you. It's the right way, you know. And you open it up, and there it is in all its glory, right? Now, we all have different reactions. Some of us are kind of that, man, you know, we're a little more manly. Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's awesome. Some of us are kind of that little, thank you. You know, anybody like that? Is anybody like that? I think I've seen some of y'all do that, actually, but... You know, some of us, yes, the arm. Some of us just are so excited we dance. You do a little dance before you can say a word, you know. But how much easier is it to be thankful about something when you're excited, when everything's going the way you hoped it would? It's a lot easier, right? Now, let's go to the flip side. Now let's say grandma's at Christmas. You get the big package from grandma, and you're dreaming about the Xbox 360. You're dreaming about the iPhone, the new coat, the like fur-lined coat you saw, the $100 gift certificate. You open it up, and it's two packages of socks, two packages of underwear, and a pair of gloves. Now, how easy is it to be thankful for that? Come on, be honest. I mean, I know you guys are thankful. Other people probably wouldn't be as thankful for that. The other person in your row probably wouldn't be as thankful for that. Now, just let me just do a little public service announcement for you. Let me just say a quick word to you grandparents. You know, I understand, you know, that everyone can use more socks and underwear. That's true. But that's not the kind of gift we're really hoping for on Christmas, all right? And even if we really need them, give us a gift card so that we can decide to go get them. Because Christmas is about joy and hope and sharing, and no one hopes for socks, and nobody really wants to share the joy of underwear, okay? I'm just a quick note for you so that you can make this Christmas the best Christmas, okay? You guys turn to Deuteronomy. You guys turn to Deuteronomy 28. We're going to take a look at Deuteronomy. Because we have to understand that God is looking for joyful thanksgiving. He's not looking for a begrudging obedience, a begrudging, oh, thank you, Lord, I'm glad you're putting me through this, you know. I'm sure I'll get something out of it. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for joyous obedience, obedience with a cheerful heart. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, that God loves a cheerful giver, talking about giving of ourselves and our tithes. He's revealed things that he wants in your life, good things, loving, awesome things, and we can't even serve him with a cheerful heart. Let's read verse 47 of chapter 28 there in Deuteronomy. Verse 47, it says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Now, here the Israelites are being told that they need to be obedient to God. That they need to be not only obedient, but they need to be joyfully and thankfully obedient. He's saying, guys, I don't want you to just do it because you know you got to do it. He's saying, I want you to be happy about it. Be excited because when you do it, I'm going to bless you. You know that. How many of us as a Christian know that we've been obedient and we've been blessed by it? And yet the very next time we turn around and go, oh, do we have to go do this? Right? Some of you are nodding your heads. The rest of you are lying. Okay, good. All right. I'm just making sure. But more importantly, you know, God is really looking for a cheerful servant. So let me ask you this. How cheerful are you when you're serving God? Are you the one that's saying, all right, God, I'm going to do this because I know I should, but I don't want to. I know. It's okay, fine. I'm going to do it. You know, you're the one doing it because you couldn't come up with a good enough excuse, right? No, Bungie will never believe that. No. No, that's not good enough. You know, your shoulders are hunched over. The big lip is sticking out. Fine, God. You know, I'll do it. Come on. Some of you are laughing. You obviously have seen people do this. You know, Bungie told me I'm supposed to be there. So-and-so told me I should be there. So-and-so's going to be there, so I should be there too. Otherwise, they'll talk about me. Because that's what we do. We talk about you if you're not there. We talk about you behind your back, you know. That is a joke, by the way. We really don't do that. So, Bungie, you should hear what Dave said. You know, or are you the kind of person that knows you're going to be blessed by this? You're the one praying, Lord, I know you're going to bless me. I know it's tough for me right now, but I know you're going to bless me. So I pray you just empower me. You know, just help me to do it. I know that people need to hear your word. I know that this needs to be done. And I know that it's going to be awesome when I get there and do it. That's a good way of looking at things. You're the one that's glad to serve the Lord. You delight in doing God's work. You enjoy doing the right thing. Turn to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21. You see, when we turn from our sins, that's one thing. Turning from our sins is good. We have fire insurance, whatever you want to call it. A little cliche, right? However, there are some people that have truly given their life to Christ. They have truly given their life over to Christ. And they're excited to do God's work. Wherever that may be, it could be that they're a janitor in a school, but they're serving God. It could be that they're a lawyer in downtown Austin, but they're serving God right where He's put them. Okay? It could be they're a missionary overseas. It could be poor. They could be rich. At Calvary South Austin or Washington, D.C., wherever it is, they've given their life to Christ and they're serving God. And I'm not talking about full-time ministry. I'm talking about you're a lawyer taking clients and you're witnessing to people. I'm talking about people are noticing in your life something different. And they're going, why are you so excited when things are going wrong? Why don't you get worried and like have ulcers like we do, you know? They're serving God right where they're at because God's going to give you divine appointments whether you're a lawyer downtown or a janitor in Georgetown. It doesn't matter. He's going to use you. So let's read verse 15 of chapter 21. It's just one verse, but it says it perfectly. It says, it is a joy for the just to do justice. But destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. So is it a joy for you to do justice? Is it a joy? Do you delight in doing what God tells you? Are you joyful? Now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, you know, Dave, you don't understand what I'm going through right now. I mean, it's great that you get to go up there in the pulpit and you're just talking all about God's stuff, but you don't understand what I'm going through, right? You know, sickness is making it impossible for me to be joyful. My car broke down for the third time in 3 weeks. You know, not only does my spouse hate me, my dog bit me this morning. The dog doesn't even like me. My kids are discipline problems. My boss just gave me more work. I'm already working 50 hours a week. My neighbors constantly have parties. My best friend is starting rumors about me. There are so many things happening in our lives. so many things. However, we have to remember that joy is not dependent upon our circumstances. It's dependent upon the Lord. Get this. This is one of those things that you should like put a note in your head. Joy is not dependent upon our circumstances. It's dependent upon the Lord. It's the Lord that gives us joy. Now, seriously, our life wasn't all roses before we came to Christ. I mean, maybe yours was. I don't know. Mine wasn't. Most people I know, our lives were not all roses before we came to Christ. So what's the only difference? What's the difference between now and then? Well, the difference is that we have the promises of Christ. We've got the promises of Christ. We have the understanding that God is on our side and that He's taking care of us. So, thankfulness comes from joy. When we're joyful, we'll be thankful. And then also, our joy comes from understanding. If you're finding yourself not joyful this morning, this is the best part for you. Because joy comes from understanding. Turn to Romans chapter 8. It's a good question. I mean, how can joy come from understanding? There was a... Think about this. You hear about a guy who gets shot in the leg. This may evoke some emotion from you. I apologize if it offends you, but it's a good example. The guy gets shot in the leg, and you go, oh, man, this poor guy got shot in the leg. You know, he limps for the rest of his life using a cane, right? You go, oh, how terrible. I don't understand. Why would I be joyful about that? Just as an example, you know, we go out and witness at UT every other Friday night with the college group. Every time I walk by the UT Tower, I'm reminded that my father went to UT when Charles Whitman went up to the tower and started shooting. He was there. He was actually off a ways. He heard shots. He heard people screaming, you know. And you think about it, there was 31 people that were injured that day. But there was 14 who lost their life. And you go, man, I can't believe this guy got shot in the leg and now he's limping. But you know what? He wasn't the 15th person who lost his life. You see, joy can come from understanding, because you can sit there and say, that's terrible that he's got shot in the leg. But you know what? He recovered and has a full life ahead of him. 14 other people don't have that luxury. There can be joy in the fact that he's still alive, that you still have that person. So joy can come from understanding. So what did I say? Romans chapter 8. Because as Christians, we can have joy when we understand God's promises. In fact, the verse in 1 Thessalonians says that this is the will of God. It says, guys, be joyful and be thankful, because no matter what's happening to you, it's the will of God. What are you so worried about? You think God can't affect changing your life? You think God's just going, oh, I don't know. Sorry about that. Whoops. Hey, good luck with that. You know? This is not what God does. Everything is sifted through God's hands. He's going to use those things in your life. Nothing gets past God. You know, it's an interesting thought. Can God have an idea? I don't know. Well, I mean, he knows everything. How could he have an idea? He already knew the idea before he had the idea. It's an interesting thought. There's nothing that gets past God. You can't do anything that gets past him. Nothing can happen to you that gets past him. Everything that happens to you is sifted through his loving hands. Let's read verse 28 of chapter 8. Verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." This is a verse that you guys have probably read a lot of times. You ever heard, like, I didn't put this in my notes, so I'm going to get this wrong, I know. People say about golf, like, it's a simple game to learn, but it takes a lifetime to master. I mean, how hard is it to learn that you got to hit the ball into the little hole a long ways away? I mean, it's not that hard to understand what you have to do in golf, but it takes a lifetime to master. In the same sense, this verse is so simple to read and kind of understand, but it takes a lifetime to just trust God with it, to just wrap your mind around it and just live by it. Because it's scary. It's really scary. So Paul tells us here in Romans that we can be assured that no matter what is happening to us, that God is using it for good in our lives. Now, what I'm not saying is that there won't be times that are painful, right? I'm not saying that there won't be unpleasant times. I'm not saying that there won't be times that you wish had never happened. What I am saying, though, is that the promise that we can stand on is that God is using every single one of those times for our good. He's making us better Christians. He's making us stronger against the devil's temptations. He's making us more mature to be able to handle life. He allows the trials and tribulations to grow us into the Christian he wants us to become. So, no matter whether you're experiencing a high or a low, God is using it to make you who you are and who he wants you to become. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter tells us that we may be tested for right now, but there's a good reason why we're being tested. You know, just prior to these verses here in 1 Peter, he's talking about how amazing it is that we've been given salvation, how our salvation is reserved for us in heaven and no one can take it away. And let's read there in verse 6 of chapter 1 in 1 Peter. Verse 6 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." There's a whole series of messages we can do just on those verses, but the concept is that Peter tells us, look, guys, you think you're being troubled right now? God's just showing you where your faith is. You know, one of the things that we don't do, you ever like gotten up and like you say hi to your wife or, you know, to whoever's in your house, "Hey, guys, how's it going?" You know, you like go to the bathroom and you realize there's like this white crested stuff down your cheek and you're like, oh, no. It's like embarrassing, you know. Maybe you've got the wife that's just like, you know, she tells you, you know. But have you ever done that? Or, you know, like your zipper's down, you know. You're like, go right. You're like at work, you know. And you're like, "Hi, Bob, how's it going?" "Yeah, had a great week." And you go to the bathroom. You're like, oh, no, this is not good. No one said a word to me. Hey, just a little public service announcement. Tell people, okay, if they got something hanging from their nose or off their chin, you know, or something, just tell them. That is the best friend that will tell you, dude, because otherwise people are going to talk about you, okay? The person who tells you, that's your real friend, okay? Everybody's looking now, see if I have anything hanging on my nose. Getting really nervous now, so. But the idea is that Peter tells us that God is allowing these trials in our life so that our faith can be shown genuine. It can be shown genuine. Now, let me just point something out really quick, just as a little sidebar here. God isn't giving you that trial in your life to allow him to see if your faith is genuine. Right? Remember, God can't have an idea. God doesn't do like tests to see how genuine your faith is. He knows how genuine your faith is. He's giving you the trial in your life so that you know how genuine your faith is. So that when the trial comes in your life and you go running and screaming away like a little girl, ah, you know, on the back end you go, dude, I probably should have more faith right now. This maybe that wasn't the best. I should probably read the Bible more. I don't know. Or it could be that you're the one who's like a rock. Like, wow, I've really grown. That's amazing. And then God will say, really, take this. So I'm just saying, God wants to stretch you, and He'll continue to stretch you. So, no, but the idea is that God's not sadistic up there going, oh, you think you're so good. But the idea is that He wants to grow you stronger and stronger and stronger to make you the Christian that He wants you to be. And it's just like a muscle. You actually tear the fiber of your muscle so that it can grow back stronger. Okay? Your muscle doesn't just like, okay? You actually tear the fibers when you lift weights. I know, right now you're thinking, yeah, like you know anything about lifting weights, right? You're all sinners, okay? You're all sinners. Physiologically, from the textbook I read, no. Oh, anyway, you tear the fibers, and then when it grows back, it heals itself, it grows back stronger so that it can hold it. It's just like in when you weld metal together. Technically, if you do it right, the strongest point on a metal bar when you weld it together should be the weld, because you're adding metal to it and you're putting two pieces together. So it grows back stronger. It's stronger. The concept is the same with your faith. You go through a trial, you realize God was faithful, your faith gets bigger. For the most part, we don't get more faith-filled. You know, we don't get more faith-filled during the trial because we're sitting there, you know, it's afterwards when we realize, wow, do you see what God did in my life? Man, I probably shouldn't scream so much. And then the next one comes along and we get a little bit farther into the trial before we start screaming like a little girl, right? And then the next trial, we go a little bit farther into the trial before we start screaming like a little girl. Pretty soon, we just like grunt like a man. I don't know. I'm not sure if that's true, but it just logically, it might work out that way. But I'm totally off my notes now. But the concept is this. Peter says that we're getting the trials to grow our faith. We're getting the trials to show us where our faith is at. There's always two choices when you come up to a trial or a tribulation. You can get better or you can get bitter. Okay? In other words, you could come up to that trial and tribulation and you can say, God, I know you're doing something in my life. I know you're moving in my life. I don't know exactly what it is, but I know I'm going to be stronger. I know I'm going to have more faith. And by the end of it, I know you're going to have shown yourself so awesome that it'll blow my mind. And you can get better. More strong, more faith-filled, more equipped to do ministry for God. Or you can get bitter. I don't understand why God's doing this. You know what? I said that I would. You know, there was one time I was like 2 years ago. A friend of mine said, hey, there might be a job, you know, opening another place. I could leave my work, blah, blah, blah. They said, well, and I actually had two offers on the table, you know, and the lady for one of them said, well, if I have you interview for this job, I want to make sure that this is the only job you would take. I said, well, I don't know. I've got the other offer on the table. I want to see what's going on. Well, I can't, you know, bring you in for an interview. And I said, I'm sorry. I'd love to tell you that and then lie. I'd love to lie to you and then get in for the interview and then I can take the other job if I want to. But I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to be honest. And she was like, okay, later. I was like, what? Are you serious? But in the end, I mean, when you look at it, it's just God saying, nah, let me just close the door on that one. You don't really need that. But the idea is that we don't, honestly, let me restart that. We don't always do the right thing and get the right kind of response. Sometimes we do the right thing and we get kicked. And you're like, hey, what's going on? I did the right thing. No, God's just giving you a trial. He's just growing you. Don't think that just because you do the right thing. I mean, Joseph, you know, ran from Potiphar's wife, right? He ran from Potiphar's wife, said, no, I'm not going to sleep with you. Ran out the house. What happened to him? Potiphar came home and said, man, Joseph, you were awesome. You're such a man of integrity for not sleeping with my wife. No, if you've read the story, he gets thrown in jail because Potiphar's like, get out of here. And Joseph is sitting in jail thinking, I did the right thing. I got thrown in jail. What is up with this? We're not always going to get the response we want if we do the right thing. I remember doing a Bible study one time, a long time ago, probably about 7 years ago. And we were talking about being a Christian, and one of the people in the Bible study said, yeah, you know, when you become a Christian, you just kind of get kicked in the teeth. I was like, what? And at the time, I mean, in fact, at the time, I wasn't really a Christian, to be honest with you. But I knew conceptually that was not right. There's something wrong with that. I couldn't figure it out. But that's exactly what had happened to this person. That when they came up to the trials and tribulations, they didn't get better. They got bitter. They couldn't believe that when they became a Christian, they started getting kicked in the teeth. Why? There was no joy in their life. They were bitter. Why? Because they didn't understand that God was using those things to make them better, to make them stronger, to give them more faith. That person wasn't getting better. They were getting bitter. Don't let that happen to you. You have two choices when you come to a trial. So what kind of person are you? Are you the one constantly saying to yourself, okay, I'm going to trust God. He's brought me through everything else. You know, he's taken through all this time. You know, I'm going to trust him. He can take care of me through this. Or are you the one getting bitter, upset because your trials just never seem to end? It seems like traffic always stops at the same place. It's like, phew, everything just stops right there. I don't get it, Lord. I do everything, Lord. Why do you always stop traffic? And he's like, why don't you calm down, and then I won't do it. You know, he's like, give me this trial, and you like fail it every time. And then you wonder why you keep having to go through the same trial, you know. It's like repeating fifth grade, you know. Some of us are repeating kindergarten, right? So, but we have to understand what the trials are for. And when we understand what they're for, then we can have joy about them. So when we really get hold of Romans 8:28, remember, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, now we can praise God when the trials begin. Are you guys there yet? When the trial starts, do you start praising God? Because we should be praising and thanking God for the trial throughout the trial. There's a concept, right? Normally, we get to a trial and we're like, oh, I can't believe we're going to this. Why am I? And you get through it and you're like, oh, yeah, thanks, God. That was awesome. Glad you taught me that, you know? But when we first hit that trial, we should go, oh, thank you, God. You're about to teach me something. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to have more faith. This is going to be cool. You ever thought of that? You ever played one of those video games where, man, I'm totally off my notes now, but you ever play one of those video games where you can do the cheat codes? Not that I ever do that. Not that I ever use cheat codes more than once a game. But anyway, there's like this one game, like StarCraft or something. I don't remember what it is now, but it had God mode. And what it is that you still had to go through and you still had to beat everybody up or shoot people, you know. But they couldn't hurt you. You know, they could like shoot you and all this kind of stuff, but it wouldn't hurt you. You realize that's what your Christian life is like? Honestly, when you start that trial, you feel like things are pounding you. They can't hurt you. You just have to keep going, push through it, and at the end, you're still going to get the reward. You win. You win at the end. It's like God mode, except it literally is kind of God mode in a sense in the Christian walk, because you've got God on your side, and you're just going through the trial knowing that God is with you, learning as you go through, and then at the end, you win every single time. That's pretty cool. That's how you can praise God for the trial throughout the trial. Because you know you win at the end. It's like reading the end of the book and then going back to the beginning. You know what happens at the end. You know that in the end of this trial, you win. I'm victorious. I go home a hero, like H-U-B. Go home a hero, you know? You're the hero at the end. But you have to start praising God for the trial at the very beginning. So you praise Him throughout the trial. So, let's get back to the notes. So you have to stop waiting until it's all over and looking back to praise God. We have to recognize the trial in the very beginning and say, thank you, God, for moving in my life. Do you realize whether something bad happens to you or something good happens to you, God is moving in your life? Why don't you praise Him for it? If God's moving in your life, that means you win in the end. That means you're getting better. Start praising Him for it. Start praising Him. You know you're going to be stretched. You know you're going to grow in your faith. Praise Him for it. When you understand that God is always moving your life to grow you and make you better, then you can praise God and thank Him for every trial, every trouble, everything that happens to you. You can have joy. You can have joy. And from joy comes thankfulness. From joy comes thankfulness. Well, one quick thing that I want to mention is that, you know what? We can have joy from understanding. We can have thankfulness from joy. The truth of the matter, though, is that some of you are sitting there thinking, you know what, though, Dave? My little brother died when he was young. You know what, Dave? My grandmother's house got destroyed. How am I going to thank God for that? How am I going to thank God for my nephew dying or my grandmother having cancer? Guys, again, it comes from understanding that we may live in a fallen world where bad things are going to happen. It doesn't mean that God does it to us. Everything is filtered through His hands. But we live in a world where hurricanes and natural disasters are going to destroy our homes. There are weather patterns that are set into place through natural laws on earth that are going to destroy our things, that are going to kill people. Disease is on earth. It is a fallen world. It is a fact that we have to come to grips with. That disease is going to kill us. Disease is going to plague us in a sense. We have to understand we live in a fallen world. These are the effects of living in that fallen world. But when we understand that God is in control, that anything God allows to happen is being used in our lives to change us, to shape us and mold us, we can have joy in our life because God is moving. Because He's taking care of us through that fallen world. He is loving us despite that fallen world. And that understanding allows us to have the joy that will come and naturally translate into thankfulness. So in closing, which is a fancy word for there's 10 more minutes. I'm just kidding. The question is, are you a thankful Christian? Are you a thankful Christian? Maybe this morning you found that you are absolutely thankful. Everything that I described, you are the epitome of it. You know, you could have taught the message with no notes. In fact, we could have just played a video of your life and we would have gotten this. We're going to change your name to Thankful. You'll be like Cher and Prince. You'll just be Thankful. That'll be your name. Maybe that's you. Probably more likely. My guess is that there are people here this morning that you find that you're not all that thankful in all things. Not you, but other people, obviously, right? You know, other people on your row, they're not thankful, you know, in all things. But the phrase, thankful in all things, if it doesn't describe you, that's okay. You're not alone. You don't have to worry too much. You're not alone. You're in good company. But what do we do if we aren't thankful? What do we do? Well, if you find yourself not thankful enough this morning, you need to take these 2 points that I've given you, go back and start from the beginning. If thankfulness comes from joy, and joy comes from understanding, which one don't you have? Track backwards. Are you thankful? The answer is no, because otherwise we wouldn't be talking about this. Okay, if you're not thankful, do you rejoice always? Do you have joy? Rejoicing always? Well, probably not, because thankfulness is basically a natural reaction to joyfulness. So I'm guessing that you're not rejoicing always. So if you're not rejoicing always, go back to, do you have a correct perspective or understanding of who God is and His will? And this is probably where a lot of us need to go back to. Do we have a proper understanding of God and His will? When a trial comes to us, do we immediately recognize it as an opportunity for growth, or do we lament our bad luck? Most of us probably go, oh, I can't believe, why is this? I mean, thank you, God, thank you. You know, our natural reaction is lamenting our bad luck. Do you become better or do you become bitter through your trials? Are you praising God for the trial, through the trial? Do you get that everything that happens to you is sifted through God's loving hands and is being used by Him to mold you and shape you into the Christian He is calling you to be? You know what the most exciting thing about that is? If He's molding you and shaping you to a specific Christian, it's because He's equipping you to do a specific ministry. Do you realize, now look, I'm not into the purpose-driven life. I mean, there's some really weird stuff in that. Don't get me wrong. But do you get that when God is shaping you and molding you into the Christian He wants you to be, that He is doing it for a purpose? He has a specific ministry for you to do. Whether you're a lawyer downtown, a biker in South Austin, or, you know, a homeless guy in Georgetown. I don't know. He's making you the Christian He wants you to be so He can use you. Your job is allow Him to shape you and mold you, and then define that ministry He's calling you to do. That's the purpose. So, here's a few things. Start believing God for what He says He'll do. If we need understanding, we need to start understanding that God will do what He says He's going to do. Start believing His promises. Take hold of those promises. Make a journal that you can keep track of all your prayer requests and what God does about them. And then if you're feeling like you're in a trial and you're like, man, I don't get it, go back through the journal. And realize, whoa, God took care of everything else over here. Why am I so upset? You know, make a journal. That's a good idea. Bring your trials to an accountability partner or to another person in the body of Christ, at the church. You know, they can encourage you. They can challenge you on things. They can help you to see God's hand in your life. You go through a trial, and sometimes God will just give them a little word of wisdom. They'll be like, yeah, but do you realize that because of this over here, this is going to happen? You go, oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. One time I was talking to my accountability partner, and I mean, the devil had just gotten hold of my mind. I remember telling him, like, I have been a failure at everything I have ever done. I have never been completely successful at anything. Well, that's a lie, because if I'm always a failure, then really I'm successful at being a failure. But anyway, that's not the point. Just caught that. But I said, I don't get it. He was like, Dave, if you succeeded at everything you did, you wouldn't be who you are and you wouldn't be here with me. Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be who I was. God is shaping and molding you. Everything that happens to you to make you who you are. Do you realize if you had done things, you wouldn't have the opportunity to get to hear me speak? How sad would that be? I mean, come on, seriously. Yeah, we'll still work on humbleness later, I'm just saying. But most of all, guys, through accountability, through bringing it to other people so they can help you and encourage you, most of all, you need prayer. You know? Not the quick throw up a prayer on the way to work, but taking the time in the morning or in the evening to just bring it before the Lord. You know, ask Him. You realize that God will answer these prayers, right? You know, all you have to do is ask Him to reveal His faithfulness to you. That's a novel concept. Because most of the time we're worried about like, hey, Lord, can you help me get a job? Hey, Lord, can you help me do this? Can you, you know, make sure so-and-so gets there safe? Just ask Him. Lord, show me your faithfulness. Reveal to me some hope. I need some hope in this situation. Show me hope, Lord. God will do it for you. I've prayed those prayers, and He's done it for me. And it's awesome because all of a sudden you kind of get this little glimmer of hope, and you're like, wow, thanks, God. That's awesome. This is cool. Ask Him for these things. Ask Him to show you His faithfulness. Ask Him to show you His will for your life. He'll give you a little glimmer. Sometimes He'll scare you, but He'll give you a little glimmer. It's like, yeah, all right, here, you want to see a little bit? There you go. Like, don't worry about it. I got you covered. Here, here's the will. Okay, now just go do this. Focus on this. But sometimes we just can't focus on this because we're too worried about this over here. So He'll give you just a little bit, just enough, and then say, all right, now, get back to focusing. Get to work. And then as you begin to understand God more and more through His revelation of His will, through His revelation of His faithfulness, through your understanding of who He is and what He has for you, through the joy that that brings and through the faithfulness that comes from the joy, guys, He is always going to be with you. Just allow that joy that you get to fill you on a daily basis. And when you do, you're just naturally going to become a thankful Christian. Let's pray.